Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air, the deadly shooting at a grocery store near Memphis. Shoppers and employees hiding inside freezers in offices, too. Also, breaking news from the CDC, boosters for millions will now begin. And the FBI at this hour with an arrest warrant now for Brian Laundrie. First, those images coming in tonight, ambulances at the scene of that deadly shooting at a Kroger grocery store outside Memphis. 13 people shot, at least one dead. Many rushed to the hospital. Pierre Thomas with late reporting. The other major headline late today, the CDC panel voting yes on Pfizer boosters for adults 65 and older and for anyone 18 and older at high risk for the disease. But tonight, the one part the CDC panel voted no on. When asked about boosters for workers with jobs that put them at risk, teachers, frontline workers, should they be eligible for a booster? The CDC panel voting 9-6 against it. Dr. Jha standing by, how soon this all starts for millions and why that no vote for some. There is also that developing headline in the search for Brian Laundrie tonight, a person of interest in the Gabby Petito case. The news coming in now, that arrest warrant from the FBI. New York City and much of the Northeast bracing for possible flash flooding tonight. Alerts in several states, Delaware up through New Jersey, New York up to Massachusetts. Damaging winds possible, and Rob Marciano timing this out. Tonight, the change at the border after those images of Border Patrol agents on horseback confronting migrants. Tonight, the Department of Homeland Security temporarily suspending the use of horses in Del Rio, Texas. Thousands remain under that bridge. Tonight, the U.S. Special Envoy to Haiti resigning in protest to the Biden administration's handling of this crisis. The Capitol Hill showdown over President Biden's agenda. Rachel Scott in the halls of Congress pressing moderates and progressives, asking will Democrats unite to save the president's plans, how they answer. And all of this amid a looming government shutdown, the White House now warning federal agencies to prepare. The terrifying fall, a toddler falling into an open manhole at a playground, his mother jumping down into that hole to save him. And America strong tonight, thousands rallying behind a mom and her scones after learning what she did during the pandemic.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. Several breaking headlines. Booster shots approved for millions, but one group they voted no on. Also, the FBI with an arrest warrant in the search for Brian Laundrie. But we are going to begin tonight with that deadly shooting at a grocery store, a Kroger store outside Memphis, Collierville, Tennessee. Police receiving a call about an active shooter. They say 4 minutes later, multiple law enforcement agencies arriving at the scene. The FBI now on the scene, too. Officers running toward the gunfire, securing the scene inside, finding employees and customers hiding in freezers and in offices. 13 people shot, at least one person has died. Several people have now been rushed to the hospital. The shooter also dead, apparently shooting himself. One worker climbing to the roof to survive this. Another worker describing the desperate rush to hide, saying the gunman kept on shooting and shooting. Tonight, what we're learning about the suspect already, and ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas leading us off.
Tonight, shoppers and employees running for their lives at this Tennessee supermarket as shots ring out.
They have 4 to 6 victims at this time.
Local police, SWAT teams, and federal agents swarming the scene. A Kroger supermarket about 30 miles east of Memphis.
There's over 200 police cars out here.
Authorities say the gunman opened fire around 1:30 this afternoon, killing at least one person and wounding at least a dozen more.
He kept on shooting, shooting, shooting. He shot one of my coworkers in the head.
As bad as this scene is, and it's horrific, I've been involved in this for 34 years, and I've never seen anything like it.
Officers canvassing the building, searching for survivors.
We found people hiding in freezers and in locked offices, and, you know, they were doing what they had been trained to do, run, hide, fight.
One worker fleeing to the roof for safety. Police say they discovered the shooter dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. The suspect's vehicle located in the store parking lot.
We are waiting on some additional equipment to get here to be able to safely check that vehicle.
Supermarkets again on a list of soft targets attacked by lone gunmen after that horrific shooting at a Colorado supermarket earlier this year, and the nation reeling from a stunning surge in mass shootings.
And Pierre Thomas, our Chief Justice correspondent, back with us tonight. And Pierre, you have late reporting on a possible motive here.
David, tonight, Tennessee sources are saying that police are looking into whether this was another tragic case of workplace violence. And David, we have some truly stunning numbers. There were more than 2,500 people shot and more than 500 victims killed in mass shootings so far this year. Truly stunning, David.
Pierre Thomas leading us off tonight. Pierre, thank you. And now to that major news on the pandemic. The CDC late today clearing the way now for millions of Americans to get booster shots. The panel voting yes to Americans 65 and older getting the Pfizer booster 6 months after the second shot. And yes on boosters for adults 18 and older with medical conditions that put them at high risk for the virus. But voting no to boosters for people who have jobs that put them at high risk, frontline workers, teachers among them. Dr. Jha standing by to break all of this down, what you need to know, how soon this begins. But first, ABC's Whit Johnson tonight on the CDC decisions that came down late today.
Tonight, that decision from the CDC paving the way for millions more Americans to start getting booster shots.
Yes, this motion passed.
An advisory panel voting to recommend a third Pfizer shot 6 months after a second dose to people 65 and older, long-term care residents, people 18 and older with medical conditions putting them at risk. But where the panel said no was on this question. Should there be a booster shot for people whose jobs put them at high risk of infection, like teachers, daycare staff, grocery, and healthcare workers?
But I think the healthcare workers are critical and cannot be forgotten.
The panel voting 9-6 against giving those frontline workers booster shots.
The nays have it, and the recommendation is not passed.
They were considering whether or not to say that everyone who was in a workplace where transmission is high or likely, such as, for example, a hospital, should get a vaccine. They didn't vote for that.
More than 13 million Americans over 65 are already at least 6 months past their second Pfizer dose.
I am over 65, and it can't help but protect me better.
Health officials not ruling out extending boosters to more people over time as more data becomes available.
And they were seeing a waning of immunity against severe disease, particularly in the elderly. And for that reason, that's why they made their decision based on their data that they were going to give a boost.
The boosters will be available to the newly eligible group as early as tomorrow at more than 30,000 locations across the country, including urgent care clinics, some federally qualified health centers, and pharmacies. At least 1,900 sites in New York City alone.
Yeah, we're ready. We know how to do this.
The CDC is saying side effects from booster shots were similar to what was reported after the second dose. 2 million immunocompromised people have already received boosters, like teacher Carla Mensch, who got her third shot earlier this month.
It was a simple piece of paper I filled out and had to just mention that I had a kidney transplant.
For people who got the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, it will be a longer wait for boosters.
Hopefully, we're only a few weeks away from seeing clear recommendations for Moderna or clear recommendations for J&J, because right now those people are kind of left out in the cold.
So how soon could these booster shots be available? The CDC director still needs to sign off. That could happen at any moment. Once it does, people who got the Pfizer shot and who qualify for a booster could start to line up at pharmacies like this one as early as tomorrow morning. David?
All right, Whit Johnson here in New York tonight. Whit, thank you. We know many of you at home have questions because this is the Pfizer booster first. They applied for authorization for their booster first. Moderna and Johnson could be applying in the coming weeks. In the meantime, let's bring in Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. And Dr. Jha, great to have you. The CDC tonight backing the single Pfizer booster after 6 months for those 65 and older, for those 18 and older with underlying health conditions. And given the data that you've studied, you're completely comfortable with this.
Good evening, David. Yes, I am. I think the data supports that quite strongly, and I think the CDC panel got that one right.
The one surprise here on this no vote, the experts were asked about those with jobs that have a high risk of infection, frontline workers, teachers among them. The vote was no, 9-6 on this. A lot of those workers are watching the news here tonight. Can you explain why the CDC said no to a booster for them?
Yeah, this is an advisory committee vote that I do not understand, David, to be perfectly honest. I think about an ICU nurse who's 9 months out from her second shot. She needs a booster. So I'm hoping that the CDC director will overrule this, but I do not think this was the right decision by the advisory committee.
And this panel did leave open the door to amend this as they move forward. And Dr. Zhao, with a few seconds left, you mentioned the CDC director there, Dr. Rochelle Walensky. If she signs off on this tonight or tomorrow, as expected, these boosters begin immediately?
They do begin immediately, and they can be revisited at any point. We can expand the list, but yeah, people should be able to get boosters very quickly.
Dr. Zhao with us here again tonight. Dr. Zhao, thank you as always. We continue on this very busy news night, and we learned just moments ago that the FBI has now issued an arrest warrant for Brian Laundrie, who was traveling, of course, with Gabby Petito when she went missing. Petito was later found dead. Tonight, what those charges are for and new details of Gabby Petito's final days. A witness now describing the scene in a Wyoming restaurant between the two. Here's Trevor Ault again tonight.
Tonight, an arrest warrant issued for Brian Laundrie. The decision coming as the final days of Gabby Petito's life are coming into clearer view.
You could feel his temper.
Nina Salee Angelo claims she saw Petito and Laundrie in an explosive confrontation at Mary Piglet's restaurant in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
He was just very visibly angry. She was crying, and he immediately went to the hostess stand and was just... Yeah, he was just going in on the hostess and the waitress and then eventually the manager.
That was August 27th, 3 days after investigators had originally said Gabby was last seen. And the same day, her mom received a final text from Gabby's phone reading, "Can you help Stan? I just keep getting his voicemails and missed calls." But Stan is Gabby's grandfather, and Gabby's mother says she never called him that. And the city of Moab, Utah, now launching a formal investigation of the police response to a fight between the couple days prior. Today in Florida, Laundrie's parents retrieving the Ford Mustang the FBI towed from their home Monday, the car they told officials Brian drove to a nearby nature reserve last week before he vanished. Tonight, droves and dive teams again searching for him in that unforgiving alligator-infested terrain.
And David, to be clear, Brian Laundrie is not charged with Gabby Petito's homicide. He's charged with illegally using a debit card and a PIN number that didn't belong to him to withdraw money after she died. In regards to Gabby's disappearance and her death, for now, he is still simply a person of interest. David?
All right, Trevor, our thanks to you again tonight. And there's also news this evening on the search for a missing woman from Washington State, an indigenous mother of two. In Las Vegas to get married, Retha Finkbonner traveling with her fiance and two friends when she disappeared earlier this month. They returned to Lummi Reservation without her. The family says a woman at a motel was the last person to see her. 57 indigenous people reported missing in Washington State just this year. We're going to turn now to a major change at the U.S. border in Texas tonight after those images of Border Patrol agents on horseback confronting migrants. The Department of Homeland Security temporarily suspending the use of horses in Del Rio, Texas. Thousands remain under the bridge there tonight. President Biden being blasted from all sides. Tonight, his special envoy for Haiti resigning in protest over inhumane deportations. ABC's Kenneth Moten on this again tonight.
Tonight, after those images of mounted Border Patrol agents aggressively confronting migrants, Homeland Security today temporarily suspending the use of horses in Del Rio, Texas.
We feel those images are horrible and horrific. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio.
And in a scathing letter, the U.S. Special Envoy for Haiti, Daniel Foote, quitting, citing the inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees and illegal immigrants to Haiti. Fewer than 4,000 migrants remain under that Del Rio bridge, nearly two-thirds families.
I worked along the border my entire career, over 20 years of law enforcement. I have never seen nothing to what I saw in Del Rio, Texas. It was very disturbing.
Border Patrol aiming to get everyone out by the end of the week. Thousands of migrants have been loaded onto buses and planes, transported to other U.S. cities, or deported. Desperation at the airport in Port-au-Prince just days ago, as a group of Haitians removed from the U.S. tried to rush back onto the plane.
David, more than 1,400 migrants have been sent back to Haiti on a dozen flights this week. At least 3,000 still here in the U.S. being processed or preparing to be deported, but the numbers from DHS are still coming in, David.
All right, Kenneth Moten in San Antonio tonight. Ken, thank you. Now to the Capitol Hill showdown over President Biden's agenda. Democratic leaders said today that they've agreed to a framework, was their word, for how to pay for that massive non-traditional $3.5 trillion infrastructure plan for pre-K, family leave, climate change, and other issues as well. They still haven't decided if that price tag will shift, if it will come down. And then there's the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan. The question, obviously, will both get passed to save the president's agenda? Rachel Scott asking Democrats that question on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, Democratic leaders feeling the pressure, trying to show they are making progress on President Biden's domestic agenda.
The White House, the House, and the Senate have reached agreement on a framework that will pay for any final negotiated agreement.
So progress on how to pay for the bill, but no agreement on how much it will cost. And that's the real sticking point. Today, Speaker Pelosi, defensive.
This is not about price tag. It's about values, not dollars.
For moderates like Senator Joe Manchin, it is about the price tag. Progressives want $3.5 trillion for everything from child care to fighting climate change. Manchin wants a whole lot less.
Is there any consensus yet on a price tag?
Progressives are now threatening to tank the bipartisan infrastructure bill unless they get what they want in a larger deal.
Bottom line, both bills are nothing at all.
That's what it is.
Progressives say it's both bills or no bill, turning up the heat on Speaker Pelosi.
Are you confident that you have enough support within your own party to move forward with a vote on Monday?
We take it one day at a time, but I'm confident that we will pass both bills.
All right, the speaker saying one day at a time. Rachel Scott live on the Hill tonight. Rachel, we're talking again about two bills here, the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill to rebuild roads, bridges, broadband, and then that $3.5 trillion human infrastructure plan, early education, paid family leave, climate change. But we all listened to what progressives told you there on the Hill today. They said they won't vote on one without the other. So where does that leave the president's agenda tonight?
Well, David, the reality is Speaker Pelosi faces the same challenge that she has for months. She needs the votes of her entire caucus. Right now, she just does not have it. Congresswoman Jayapal told me tonight that if that bill comes to the floor of the House for a vote on Monday, that it will fail. David?
Rachel Scott on the Hill again tonight. Thank you. When we come back here, New York City and much of the Northeast bracing for possible flash flooding tonight and dangerous winds. Rob Marciano timing this out.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, tonight, the Northeast now bracing for potential flash flooding and dangerous winds again. So let's get right to meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking this. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. These storms are almost up on us east of the Hudson here. It's a large lumbering system. You see it here. The low itself is at the thumb of Michigan, but all that rain is being streamed up and not moving very quickly to the east. So flash flood watches are now extended into Connecticut and into Massachusetts with rain rates of 1 to 2 inches per hour. We shouldn't be as bad as when we had Ida 3 weeks ago, but people are certainly on edge. Look how slowly that line moves into tomorrow morning. So I think we're going to have this problem right in through tomorrow afternoon, but the next 6 hours here around New York City will be dicey. David?
Thank you, Rob. To the index of other news and to that toddler rescued by his own mother after falling into an open manhole at a playground in Union, New Jersey. The 14-month-old boy falling about 7 feet into 2 feet of sewage water. His mother jumping down to get him with no access ladder. She still managed to somehow get them both out. Neither was badly hurt, and we loved hearing that. Funny tonight here, America Strong. The story of a mom suddenly out of work, but who still got to work. Her children joining her, and tonight the thousands who want in on her scones too. We read about her in a recent Instagram post by Humans of New York, Mary O'Halloran, owner of Mary O's Irish Pub here in New York City. At the beginning of the pandemic, she had to shut down. Her husband in Alaska working on the docks loading ships. He couldn't get home because of travel restrictions. She was home with their 6 children. And with the pub closed, still, Mary got to work. Making 30 meals a night for frontline workers, her children helping in the kitchen too. Her regulars would come and help with the kids running errands, taking them on walks, but with no pub, no money. So she started making soda bread scones with homemade blackberry jam, her mother's recipe from Ireland. Word spread, thousands began lining up, customers sending photos. And tonight, after that post, her story going viral. $1 million in orders, 20,000 pounds of flour. Mary standing over all that flour with an Irish blessing, emotional, wiping away a tear. And right here tonight,
hi, Davis.
Mary with her latest batch of scones. Her regulars helping to carry in the flour.
You should see it. It's all over the restaurant.
Each scone with a letter from Mary's 8-year-old daughter, Erin. Tonight, Mary and her family grateful.
I pray and hope that everybody receives their scones with the same feeling that I have when I make them. Thank you. Mwah.
Thank you, Mary. Mario's scones. Let's all get to work. Good night.